This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Hey, pet pals. Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, our special guest is one of the stars, and let's get a good word here, heroes, on the A&E popular show, Hoarders. Now, hoarding is a mental condition. It can and does impact pets who live with people who just can't stop piling things up in their homes. Our special guest is going to talk about that. Please join me right now in giving pause and applause to a very remarkable man, Brandon Bronaugh. Welcome, welcome, Brandon.
Thank you, Arden, for having me. I'm so pleased to be here.
Now, I understand when you're not on camera with the show, Hoarders, you're the CEO of a company called Life Cycle Transitions. Okay, explain a little bit. What is that?
Well, Life Cycle Transitions was created in the celebration of the cycle of life. As people get older, as situations change, you know, circumstances change. And we created the company to mirror those changes, both mentally, physically, emotionally, to navigate the pitfalls of trying to figure out how to downsize, how to deal with the emotional baggage that often clutter, let's admit, sort of attributes to.
Yeah.
And also make some decisions on when to put the house on the market, how to deal with it from an aesthetics structural standpoint, if there's things that need to be addressed, and how to prioritize that, eliminating the stress and the anxiousness that often comes, and mediating the right solution, because maybe the husband wants to go here, the wife wants to go this direction. And then, of course, you got the adult kids that are really just anxious to help mom or dad sort of figure out the best course.
So you like to be in a job that has a lot of places you got to watch where you step in, because you could cause a mess, an emotional mess, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we're walking into a lot of the emotional concern that families don't quite know how to deal with.
And I'm loving your tone. You're not hyper. I don't think a person who's helping hoarders in that condition would be sounding like an auctioneer or a screamer. I think you've got the perfect, you know, voice and tone. I mean, what made you pick this area? It's not easy.
I often tell people that I could have chosen a number of things. At times, I wonder, why didn't I ever sell ice cream? Who's mad about ice cream? You know, but I had a plan. And, you know, God had a different one. He had a better one. You know, I wanted to just create a company that sort of helped people under one roof. You know, I wanted them to be able to have a one-stop shop. And I was purely focused on the actual home for the most part. But then, as you can imagine, you touch everything that touches you, and realizing the emotional ups and downs. I took this journey with our clients. And as I went through it, I began to learn more and more about people and how they changed and how they, you know, adjust to different things. And you know, when they're doing well, when they're not doing well, and how to help them check in.
The show is called Hoarders. It's been on a while on A&E. You started on season 12. So how did you get plucked to put into the cast?
Well, I have been doing this. I've been doing this for about 17 years. And before the show had contacted me, I was already, I want to say, about 12 years in or so. And in that process, I had been working with Corey Chalmers, who's, you know, the senior on the show. He's been doing it probably the longest. And he and I would work together, and his directory would, when experts were required in some of the space that he wasn't physically there, he would refer them over to me, and I would handle the client, and he had saw how well they had been handled. And when the show was looking for new talent, he said, you know, well, there is this guy that, you know, is really talented, and I've heard a lot of good things because customers have been, you know, saying great things about him. You should give him a shot. And, you know, I came out, I went on my first episode, and It was very nervous, but, you know, I got through it. You know, the team, the support, the clients, the family, you know, they embraced me. And, you know, ever since then, it's just been, you know, a tumultuous, exciting journey ever since then.
I think people might be surprised. I want two questions. I want you to first define, in Brandon's own words, what is a hoarder and why is it a mental condition?
Well, a hoarder is a number of different people dealing with a number of different mental and emotional disorders that can perpetuate the hoarding tendencies in different ways. You know, some people may be at cillomania. Some people may suffer from bibliomania traits. A lot of it is derived from some form of trauma, maybe a loss, if you will, you know, losing someone, losing a career, losing a mobility or a freedom, if you can. And some of it is a head trauma, you know, a physical trauma where we've seen situations where people in a car accident or fall, personality entirely changes. And now all of a sudden they go from being a person who was always, you know, tactical and strategic to, you know, becoming incredibly impulsive in choices and decisions and sporadic. And now as a result of this dramatic change, their physical environment has dramatically changed as well.
Do you have any idea of, are there studies that show like 1 in 30 people are hoarders, 1 in 500? Do you have any kind of statistics? What I know there's degrees of hoarding and types of hoarding, but how prevalent is hoarding in our country?
It's very prevalent. And I think it's so prevalent that many of us don't quite know exactly when we're doing it or if we are. I mean, let's face it, in all the 17 years, I would say about 10% of the 7,000 clients that we've transitioned nationwide will ever even self-identify themselves on the initial phone call as a hoarder. Most of the time, I chuckle when they call in and they say, I have a bit of a clutter situation.
Oh, they like to be clutterers.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a clutter. I'm not like those people on the show. And I'm sitting here listening to them and I'm saying, okay. And maybe they're not. In a lot of cases, you know, they may not have reached that level of extreme, but to identify yourself as a person that's afflicted with this, it's far less common, but the effects of it is indeed far more common. I can go into a person's home and I can tell a lot about them by the way that they stay in the home, how they live in the home, where they place things in the home. And it gives me an idea of, you know, a lot of what's going on in their personal lives.
I'm not afraid to have you come to my home in Dallas. How's that? I'm not a hoarder. We have pets, but the place is clean. And the best compliment we ever get is, oh, I didn't know you had a couple of cats because you don't smell a dirty litter box. I'm just curious, are you a neat freak?
You know what? You would think because of what I do that certain things would trigger me. But no, I'm not perfect.
Oh, come on. Tell me a little sloppy Brandon.
I have this chair that's sort of like my toss up. It's when I come in from work and these clothes can't go to the laundry. They need to go to the cleaners. And as you know, you don't get to the cleaners every day. So I put things in this particular chair. And if I happen to miss the cleaners drop on Friday or Saturday, then it can go another week or it can go 2 weeks.
Okay.
I've seen it where my schedule let it get 3 weeks. And then you see things pile up. And I know at that point, I got to get over to this cleaners before this pile gets out of hand.
Everyone, we're speaking with Brandon Bronow. He is on the show, A&E Show Hoarders. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the impact hoarding has on pets. So y'all know the drill. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Stephen Whooper reminding you to always listen to Arden Moore on Oh Behave, the best show on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O'Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O'Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am honored to have on our show Brandon Brunau. He is on the A&E show Hoarders. He's also the CEO of Life Cycle Transitions. We've talked about a little bit about hoarding. And this is a big deal for all of us who have pets because I have a lot of friends, Brandon, that work in the rescue and shelters, and they get a call. Someone has far too many animals in their home. So people can hoard pets too, right?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, pet hoarding is the most challenging, the most emotional hoarding out of all the categories. In fact, a lot of companies like ours don't handle them because there's so many different variables involved.
Well, tell us about how you do work with which groups, if you get a call and, you know, you got sentient beings there that need help.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you know, our pets don't have the privilege of being able to pick up the phone and call, you know, 911 and say, hey, I want to get out of here. But I can't tell you, Arden, how many times it's broken my heart when I've been in these homes and I'm literally seeing a lot of these animals that are suffering. And the look on their face is though they want me to come rescue them. They're like, get me out of here. And far beyond to the client that's calling up to the home to help them, you know, when you impose questions or concerns, like, listen, you know, you have two or three or four animals and you're not caring for any of them in the manner that they should. You know, I know you love them. I know there's a lot of care and compassion, but do you feel in your heart that these animals will be better served in an environment where they can be individually loved and treated, you know, with the affection and the care that they deserve? And sometimes you're able to get through to them and you're able to talk them to a place. And we've been successful. We've been really successful at rehousing and relocating clients to our home rescue program, where we would come in and we would arrange to get the properties acquired, find them a new home, rehouse the animals, get animal cruelty and shelters involved. We've even adopted a lot of animals within our client pool of transition clients. We would post the picture of the animal and the clients that we've seen that were looking for companionship animals. We would send a text or an email and say,
can you share a specific something that you felt good about? Because we're able to help the person that has a hoarding issue, but also get the care and love that a pet needs.
Yeah, I had a situation, unfortunately, with a family where a young man was in his early 20s in the peak of his life. He unfortunately overdosed. In the wake of that, we transitioned the condo onto the market so that the family can, you know, do what they need to do with the property. And the cat that was in the home that he was caring for, we actually had one of our clients adopt the animal. And the family was so excited and so ecstatic because, you know, they know how much this cat meant to their son. So we were able to show pictures and updates for many years, at least 4 years, you know, that cat lived a really good life with this particular client. But unfortunately, you know, he passed away about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it meant a lot to Life Cycle for us to be able to do that. And we've done that, I want to say, about three or four times with various transitions, not always clients that we were able to use, but sometimes we were able to transition them into rescues.
And where are you based? And is this an opportunity across the country to place these animals? Or, you know, there's a good network of shelters and rescues.
We're nationwide. We originated and started in Massachusetts. That's our home office, but we cover the entire country and we're working our ways into Canada and far beyond. We believe that we're the missing link when it comes to people going through real life situations, because let's face it, we get the call when something's going to happen or something needs to happen. And we'd like to educate and inspire people to be more proactive rather than reactionary.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And your team has kind of got a lot of different occupations, if you will. Can you kind of run down some of the experts on the Life Cycle Transitions team? I mean, it is you who obviously knows how to counsel and hoarding, but there's other kinds of people you need on your team. It's like a football team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have over 200 plus technicians that serve our clients' needs throughout the country. We have transition coordinators, behavioral specialists, social workers, case managers. We have our home care division that focuses on transitioning clients to and from hospitals and nursing homes. We're the only company to be endorsed through major healthcare companies as a partner, which when I saw and foresaw a lot of these environmental concerns and how they affected individuals pulmonarily and through COPD and through the respiratory failure. When there's smoke, there's fire. And yeah. When there's often hoarding, unfortunately, there's mold. And a lot of these clients, especially with the dogs, they don't understand the environmental conditions and concerns that cat urine, you know, can do to you if those litter boxes and things aren't done.
No, so let's get into poop and pee for 200, Brandon. Seriously, this is serious because if they're not cleaning up after their pets and the pet isn't getting to go outside, the dog, and the house reeks of smell and stain, tell us what the medical issue is for both the person and the dog or the cat.
Well, we just recently rescued a client in Houston who contacted us and said, hey, listen, I'm in trouble. She was young, you know, early 30s. And she had acknowledged the fact that she had been in the home that she just recently bought maybe 3-4 years ago. And she said, I want to leave. I want to go. And this is the part, Arden, that we don't talk about. There are a lot of clients that want to leave, know that the situation has reached the point of no return and it's untenable and it's unhealthy, but they stay. And unfortunately, they suffer too because they can't find a place to get the dog and the animal. So in her case, she wanted to leave the home, but her biggest concern, Arden, was what am I going to do with my pets? I can't leave them. And their fear is that the animals are going to unfortunately be put down. So, okay. You know, our job, me and your job, is to educate them and to inform them that just because you get your animal rehoused or there's a rescue agency involved, these animals are not always, in most cases, ever going to be put down because you can't care for them. And in her case, she had 8 pets. You know, 6 of them were cats, 2 dogs, and the animals had, you know, unfortunately, you know, defecated their fecal matter all over the floor. There was urine all over the place.
That had to be pungent, eye burning.
It was incredibly, and literally the smell, the aroma, the acidity, the ammonia that comes from the situations was permeating a block, almost a half a block, 4 or 5 houses before we got to our house. As we got closer to our home, the neighbors were directing us to the house that we were going to.
You didn't need a bloodhound to find the scent. It was right there.
It was right there. And first thing we did is obviously we wanted to open the doors so that the place can ventilate because we were smelling it with the doors, the windows and everything shut. That's how bad the situation was. So what it does is it affects their respiratory system. You got nausea, you got disorientation, vomiting. You're suffocating yourself. I mean, you're putting yourself in such grave condition. It's unimaginable that people don't feel these symptoms, but over a period of time, they become somewhat immune to these elements. So in her case, we had to literally take down the entire floor all the way to the subfloor.
Oh, yeah.
It's a massive undertaking when people don't care for their pets and it gets to this point.
So people tune into our show, Brandon. We have a zillion that do. And we've been on the air since, I think, 2006 or 2007. We're the longest running pet podcast on the planet. So they're not all my relatives tuning in right now, Brandon. How can people help this situation? Where can they go, Lynn? Because people have different talents. Some people have fat wallets. Some people have time on their hands. Some people have, you know, skills. How can people help out what you all are doing?
Well, I mean, for one, you can lend your voice. If you know someone or have someone that has experienced certain situations, go on to programs and platforms like yours to share those positive stories. Acts as a conduit or encouragement. And especially in hoarding situations, I noticed the more we talk about these things, the more we have these candid conversations, the better we are basically extinguishing the shame and the embarrassment that
right.
goes into
it. Yeah, that's important. It is a condition. It isn't. I know some people that have a lot of stuff in their homes and they say, well, it was from my mom. And I look at the chair and it's held together by masking tape and duct tape. And I'm like, your mom passed away when? Well, she passed away 45 years ago, but I can't get rid of the chair. So it is an emotional attachment in some cases, right?
Oh, absolutely. And when you think about the pets and you think about people that hold them, they're not objects. These pets all have personalities, identities.
Yep.
And so it's easy for these individuals that suffer from recording to have such a strong connection and a bond. The key to breaking those bad habits is to really bring home to them the importance of making sure that if you love them, that we have to learn how to love them in the right way.
So if you suspect a neighbor or a friend who has pets is hoarding and it's going to impact the health of them all, what's the first step they should do?
First thing they should do, communicate with the person in question. I don't recommend having the town or the city just sort of show up at these people's doors without giving them proper notice of being able to fix the situation. Then give them a little bit of time to address the situation. And if they don't address it in the time, if you're living in an apartment, then it's probably important that you let the man have these bylaws if you're a condo owner. But if you have a situation where you have a family member involved, life cycle transitions would be a great starting point.
Okay.
Because we focus on the actual transition of getting the home to a situation where it's sustainable. Because in some of these cases, they can handle the two or maybe one or two or three pets if the environment is conducive for the animal to live and move and about freely. So if we can address that, we'll give them a chance through our transition care plan, which is a slower, more long-term approach after 17 years of realizing that some clients can't go in and do a hoarding project in 5 or 7 days. But you know what? They can do a hoarding project one time a week over 7 or 8 weeks. And that's with the transition care plan.
I saw an episode with a gal named Angel, and you and your team were very gentle with her because this was hard for her. And so it's like, you know, maybe two steps forward, one step back kind of, right?
Yeah, we're the only company that we do our intake forms, a large percentage of them, with our behavior specialist. So instead of just having a cleaning or junk removal company person come in to do your evaluation, we've created our transition evaluation assessment to have case managers, social workers go out and meet with the client so that we can get that one-on-one connection.
What if you could have a trait dogs have that we don't? What would be something you wish you could? What's your inner dog trait, Brandon?
I would like to sniff out more hoarding opportunities to help more people.
Oh my gosh, I didn't expect that. Okay, all right. Got a little bloodhound in your nose wish, right?
Yeah, a little bit of that.
All right. Hey, everybody, we've been speaking with Brandon Bronau. He is the CEO of Life Cycles Transition. And of course, he's on the A&E show Hoarders. I want you to check out that show. Brandon, I really salute you for what you're doing to help people and pets that need help and they can't speak.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I really do commend you for all the work you guys do as well. I'm OBHAVE.
All right. We got some people listening, so hopefully you get some help coming your way. At this time, I also want to give a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. It is the largest pet radio network on the planet. And he's not a clutterer. He's not a hoarder. He's just a nice guy. And everybody, got some big news. When I'm not behind the mic, I am a master certified pet first aid and CPR instructor. I do it with my real dog, Kona, my real cat, Casey. Everything is veterinary approved. Please check out Pet First Aid for You because we offer 3 ways for you to learn how to help a pet: in person, interactive Zoom, and self-paced courses. So please check that out if you would. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just 2 words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. OBHAVE.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's OBHAVE with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. OBHAVE with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.